Want to help support the show? Become a patron. Visit seasonofthewitchcast.com. Sign up to receive discount codes and a free ebook from online wiccansupplies.com.
This podcast is sponsored by The Crazy Cast and Human Wire Productions at human-wire.com.
And the Gypsy Haven, Elgin's only witch shop at www.thegypsyhaven.com and online wiccansupplies.com.
Two witches.
You mean like witchcraft?
Sharing their opinions and beliefs about the practice and theory of magic.
Must be the season of the witch. Must be the season of the witch, yeah. Must be the season of the witch.
Hi guys, this is Feather.
And LaFay.
Welcome back to Season of the Witch.
We have a special.
Yay. We were here a week ago, but we're back because NASA is right around the corner, and we had to get this out to you before it actually came.
Give you guys a chance to
plan for it.
There's a lot to go over, and it's a fun holiday, and we definitely want to make sure that we always give you guys some prep time.
Yes. Lunasa, Lamas, whatever you want to call it, August 1st. It's a major Sabbath for we pagans. So if you don't know anything about it, get out your pencils and your papers and take some notes so that you can build an altar or do whatever the hell you want to do.
For sure.
So we're going to... But you got anything...
Booyah!
Booyah! You got anything you want to talk about before we get into one of my favorite holidays?
Oh, I mean, before... I mean, realistically, not so much for, like, focus on anything outside of that. I really like keeping these...
I was just saying, how was your day, dear?
My day was awesome. I am reading a new fun book, so that's nice and interesting. The Golden Compass series. So anyone that wants a interesting fantasy book again, that's my new suggestion. That's about it.
Very good. I wish I had time to read.
Yeah, right. I sit at work and listen to audiobooks.
Oh.
So
see,
it's
that would
data entry constantly, and I can sit there and listen to all sorts of stories. It's nice.
Oh, you're such a fire girl. You can juggle 14 things at once.
I got to keep myself entertained. Otherwise, I will get very, very bored very quickly.
All right. Lunasa. Yay. Shall we start with some of the older traditions?
Yes.
How did this Sabbath form kind of thing?
Well, funny enough, so... The big one that most people related to is the Celtic version of Lunasad, Lamas. It's also known by Garland Sunday, Bilberry Sunday, Mountain Sunday, Reek Sunday.
Ice cream Sunday.
Ice cream. Mm-hmm. It kind of can either come off of Lamas Day, which is the Anglo-Saxon Hlaf Mass or Loaf Mass.
So that's bread.
Yes, very bread. Focused around the bread, and that's going to be a repeating theme in this.
Oh, yeah.
But the one that primarily a lot of pagan traditions will focus on is more of the Celtic tradition, which makes this one of the major four fire festivals.
Mm-hmm.
So the Anax in Ireland, they were the big traditional one, and was the fair of the... Do you know how to pronounce the mother... The stepmother?
No, the foster mother.
Foster mother.
Foster
thank you.
Mother. Yeah, Talchia.
Talchia.
Talchia. Yeah, because I'm going to be talking a lot about her this evening.
Thank you.
Too.
So, to honor her. And so that was one. It was a lot of people say that this holiday predates, and so it predates the Olympics. And so mm-hmm. one of the big things that they would do is hold festivals and games and anything yes. that would really be focused on sports and activity.
They were actually called funeral games.
Yes.
To celebrate the sun god Lu, who wanted these funeral games for his foster mother.
And we'll go into, he's got his own subsection, and so...
Yay, he's my baby.
Starting off with that, I'm going to leave the rest of that to you in a little bit, but going on to some other ones, we've got the Christians who would hold their first... They would bring the first loaves of bread to the church and have that blessed, and that would be the first blessing of the year, basically. So it's this repeating theme of, at this time, they are harvesting their first grains, and so that's going to be the first bread that they make of the season, and that's going to be a big deal... in bringing future benefits to their crops and everything else. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Vulcanalia, which is in ancient Rome, that originally started around August 23rd, and that was the celebration of Vulcan or Vulcanus.
Vulcans. Okay, sorry.
And he was the god of fire and volcanoes.
Okay.
Pretty obviously. But he was, you know, basically he was trying, they were trying to appease the fire and volcanic gods and keep them from, you know, exploding. So there's kind of a problem
with
that.
Please don't melt my home.
Okay. And then another one I've got is the Bavarian tradition of the Ascension of Mary. So I like this one because the Bavarians, the Germans, around the 15th of August, they would basically gather up all 77 different herbs. And then they would carry it along in wooden sticks, and then these herbs would be consecrated, and these were used for ritual incense. So they would make this huge consecration of these herbs for the Ascension of Mary. And even though this was a Christian tradition, it definitely was, you know, they would use those herbs in special incenses and when they were cooking for certain things. So that was their apothecary that they would make every year, make sure that they had everything prepped.
Herbs.
So even the Bavarians, the Germans during their Christian after the pagans, they were still doing a lot of witchy things. So it was fun.
One of the interesting things too is that when we spoke about Letha, even some of the traditions of it involved, because, you know, when we're talking about the wheel of the year, we're talking about agriculture and, you know, the shifts of the seasons and stuff. Well, through Letha, we had mentioned that one of the traditions was walking the livestock between two big bonfires for purification
the
and cleansing.
Fires.
Right. In comparison to Lunasa, it's instead of the fire, they actually walk them through water.
Oh, nice.
For purification, blessing, gratitude for the livestock as to what they had survived and the upcoming, the winter months about to happen too. So you're going to see even a lot of all the similarities from the new ways to the old ways. I mean, the old ways rock because they basically laid the foundation as to a lot of things that we still practice today.
That's, I think, one of the biggest reasons why I like history so much is I can find those connections and ties from the old to new ways, and then that feels like a little more legitimacy comes to it just because I can feel that connection. Another one that was kind of fun is this repeating theme of revival. So outside of what we'll go into with Lou, there's also the story of John Barleycorn.
I've heard that name before.
Yeah, so kind of, he became an American folk, or not American, Irish folklore for the whiskey. But the idea is the green man who got turned into John Barleycorn represented the spirit of the grain. And so they would harvest him and he would be sacrificed and then be reborn as the spirit of the whiskey.
So, and that's how Jack Daniels was born.
Pretty much. I mean, they have a lot. It has a lot to do with, you know, going through sacrifice, transformation, death, and rebirth. So it's a big repeating theme. And
these are all keywords to this Sabbath. Everything that you're saying right there, you know, it's okay. Anyway, not trying to jump the gun.
No, we had a lot of. It's going to be. A lot of different cultures like to use this time. And I mean, when you look at the agriculture, this is when the first crops are being harvested. And so we're really starting to appreciate the fruits of our labor. It's not quite the winter, but we're starting to really be aware of it.
Yeah, it's Lunasa tends to be pretty bittersweet for me just because I like the hotter months. And Lou, you know, of course, we're getting back to the Celtic roots here, being
winter
a
is coming.
Celtic, the, you know, king of the gods and stuff. He is the sun god, and he's dying. He's dying, and I'm going to miss him when he's completely gone, which is Samhain. You know, he's pretty much dead. But at the same time, right now he's the goddess is also impregnated with the new sun god. So Lou is dying. So it's kind of funny because it's such an amazing holiday. And when everybody's off running and rejoicing and stuff, I'm kind of choking back tears a little bit. I'm like, aw. I try not to think too hard into the story because I do start to cry. And I'm like, which is kind of strange for me because I don't tend to get into the whole human mythological deity stuff. But for this one, this is kind of a big one for me.
Well, I think it fits so naturally with what we're dealing with, the seasons. I mean, like, it's such a direct correlation, and we are aware of it. And I think I can definitely see how that would fit more internally than some of the other stories that are a little more fantastic. Yeah. This one is a constant reminder of something that we're quite in tune with the season.
Right.
And so I will give you that. It's less human than other humanistic stories. I mean, like, the reminders and the things that we're focusing on.
Right. All right. Well, before we get into, like, Lu and Talchaya or Talchia, I fuck up her name, and I feel like a piece of crap for Talchia. Yeah, Lou's foster mom. You want to get into some other keywords and stuff as to what this Sabbat represents, or some themes
or I've also got deities.
Oh yeah, I've got a bunch of stuff too. I just didn't really know where you wanted to start.
Yeah, but I mean, there is that sense of mourning that we're going to be going through. It's not nearly the same. I mean, like, Samhain is kind of like a New Year's / morning vibe. There's a little bit of mix of both, but this one definitely has that vibe.
Yeah, this is the beginning of, I mean, it's definitely the recognition of the necessity of life and death, and all the changes that go along with it. Not only, you know, with the agriculture and everything that's going outside, but even within ourselves, you know, the things that we were reaping at the beginning of our season, we're beginning to reap. And, you know, even sometimes this time of year, there's some room for regret, unfortunately.
The things that you weren't able to complete,
you didn't have
to start.
For some lame ass reason why you didn't start something, you know, but anyway, so definitely the necessity and inevitability of life and death. Reflection's a big one on that too. Just looking back at everything that you've done so far this year. Big time for celebration, though.
It's a funeral game, but it's still a game.
Well, it's kind of like a mini pagan Thanksgiving. I mean, our real Thanksgiving is more Mabon, but this is the first harvest. So we're talking about, you're still going to see some things coming to the table that represent, that really look a lot like Thanksgiving, like
cornucopias.
Yeah, you're even pumpkin and squash.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your
the first
early
things
vegetables,
that are coming in.
Your late fruits. Yeah, your apples and peaches and that type of thing. But at the same time, too, we talk a lot about sacrifice right now as well. When we look back and we think about what spirit and the universe has provided us through these months, you know, it's really a time of that reflection to look back and say, okay, you know what? I've worked really hard, and I've been blessed. I've been so blessed with everything that I can't take all of this, all the credit myself. You know, I've been looked after.
Right.
So we actually,
we're starting to see all of the benefits that are coming in.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, so we do sacrifice. And no, we don't kill babies and shit. Where I'm talking sacrifice, you know, and to some fire, to some water, whether it be some nuts and some berries. I'm a big berry girl, you know, for this one. But we'll be talking a lot about sacrifice, more or less gifts, offerings for the things that we've been blessed with.
Right. And I mean, like, that can also be just volunteer work or something to give back as well.
Oh, it's, sure.
You know, sacrificing your time is a huge, non-threatening, very pagan way of performing a sacrifice.
Yeah, there are so many different forms of different types of service that people in and out of the city can do this,
of course,
you know, for the Sabbath. But we could talk about those too. But I think my biggest thing is I'm going to keep going back to it. Maybe I just had a long day on the Harley or something like that. I'm a little sunbaked, but it's gratitude. It's a big one for gratitude. for everything that we have. But okay, I'm going to get off of that because, okay. All right, let us talk about some pretty, pretty things that maybe somebody out there would like to set up a little Lunasa altar.
Sure.
All right. What color would you suggest maybe for an altar cloth?
Huge into the yellows and the bronzes and the anything that reminds you of grain.
Okay. Yeah, I am a big blue girl, so yellows, even red.
Yep.
I would do orange.
Or
colors that represent the sun or the oncoming autumn. So, you know, I tend to stay away from the pastel-y, flowery colors. I go more into the colors that you're going to start seeing on the leaves soon. So
it's probably one of my favorite altar color associations. Very fall.
Your browns, golds, greens, that kind of thing.
Even like the purples and the mauves.
Oh,
and
sure.
Like those deeper. It's definitely
bloodier
those
looking colors.
They're very pretty. Mm-hmm. That's why I like to use the accents of gold.
Okay.
So just it's especially with the purples and the reds and even yellow, that looks very nice with gold accents and rather than silver. So this is not a silver, not as common.
No, it really isn't. And if you think about it, it really is common sense. I mean, Lu being the sun god, we're talking about the sun and the harvest right now.
Right.
And the sun, the moon is more silver, the sun is gold.
Right.
So think about those gold tones and stuff.
Once you start knowing the history behind, it comes almost second nature once you start to know the associations. And that's why we go into all of this huge details. Like, all right, you know the symbolism. You know the sun is a huge thing.
Does this sound familiar?
And it doesn't necessarily have to be what we tell you. If you see the sun being associated with...
Purple.
Yeah, purple, rather than... And gold,
then go
do purple.
Go
yeah,
purple.
But
it really
it's what,
doesn't matter.
Exactly.
How about some stones? What are some stones that you would put on your altar?
I've got citrine and peridot,
topaz and carnelian,
cat's eye,
onyx
and obsidian.
I've got quartz.
Yep, I do marble.
Yep, I'm done.
And lodestone.
Lodestone's a nice one.
And carnelian.
Yep, I said carnelian.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Carnelian and citrine probably are the biggest two that represent the sun to me.
Right.
But that's me. Whatever.
Yeah, and then I've also got adventuring. I don't know if you... Did I hear you
like
say
an
that?
Orange adventuring?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like an orange or even a darker green adventuring, if we can get into that.
Okay.
Kind of like the pumpkin-y colors.
Yeah. Pretty colors this time of year. Well, soon to be coming. Okay. That's all the stones that I had. You know, I don't know if you have any suggestions.
Yeah.
And just like LaFay said earlier, even if you want to stick amethyst on your altar for whatever, you know, if it holds near and dear to your heart, we're only giving you our suggestions. So,
and it also depends on what you're trying to do.
Sure.
So it doesn't, if you're not trying to go focus on just the... like the intentions behind the actual, like the holiday, you can also focus on your intention for whatever working you're doing.
Right. Yeah. We haven't even really talked about magical workings for it yet, but yep. Good point.
And then, how about herbs?
I've got,
or I'm
herbs.
Skipping ahead. You've got yours
okay.
in a little order. I can scroll up and down.
Nope,
you've
got it. Okay. Blackberry.
I've got acacia flowers.
Bilberry.
Aloe.
Allspice.
Cornstalk.
Basil.
Frankincense.
Rosemary.
Heather.
Garlic.
Hollyhock.
Bay.
Myrtle.
I've got fennel.
Oak leaves.
I'm done.
And sunflower.
Sunflower.
And if you can get wheat or some fresh grain.
That would be wonderful.
And it's gone.
And then rose hips are also popular. Because they're just about done, so you've got the rose hips that are left over, so that's about the time that you can start collecting them.
Okay.
So that makes a whole lot of sense.
Seeing that we're so close to the food department, you got any foods on your list?
Mm-hmm. Okay, outside of bread and everything to do with bread?
Yeah, bread. Yeah, you guys, bread. It's a big bread holiday, okay? So you name it, make some bread. Anyway.
All right.
Apples.
And tomatoes.
Corn.
Plums. I know we said it before.
Squash.
Zucchini counts as a squash, but zucchini especially.
Okay. A bunch of grains.
Honey.
Nuts.
Onions.
Berries.
And grapes.
Potatoes.
Melons.
Keep going.
Peaches.
Yep.
And then beer.
I've got wine, mead, and apple cider.
Yeah, any
beer
and hops. Ale and anything hops. That comes out. Yes, we're just like, we got the whole Jeopardy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, any alcoholic beverages that are distilled from grain or grapes or any apples or anything like that. So it's a good boozy, bready holiday. This is a good, yummy holiday.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I've got a couple flowers I like to throw Lou's way. You had mentioned sunflower. I like marigold.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned poppy earlier.
And hollyhock.
Yeah. Rose.
And rose hips.
Aster. And cornflower.
Yes.
Da-da-da.
Actually, cornflower and poppies relate back to John Barleycorn as well.
Oh, yeah?
Those two would be specifically left for him at the grave.
Oh,
so
okay.
Those also associate back to him.
Okay. Very
just
good.
Just a fun little wraparound.
We did a little lowdown on the color gold. Gold is actually one of the metals mm-hmm. for this sabbat. So is, oh gosh, I'm killing things. So is brass.
Yeah, I would assume even copper.
Yep. Oh, that's one of my favorites.
I love, those are my, like, I don't love gold, funny enough. Like,
yeah.
If I have a preference, it's silver usually, but
white
brass.
Gold.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. But brass and copper are probably my two favorite metals.
Okay. Copper just looks so pretty on the skin.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What are some tools and symbols that we would see on our altar?
One of my favorites is a scythe.
Oh, yeah. Sickles and scythes. And let's go down and cut some fucking herbs and shit. Let's go out and make some corn dollies.
Heck yeah, and husk dollies and everything
yeah.
that you can do with those. So the bowline and the athame, a lot of blades in general, anything
yep.
that can be used for cutting and slicing.
Right. I got the Rowan cross.
Yeah, and the, the wheel. The seasonal wheel.
Oh, the thing I have in the other room.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, how about a cornucopia?
Yes, thank you. So it's a big deal about the wheel of time, like the changing of seasons
right.
and everything. So anything that has to do with a seasonal change,
okay.
that's a big one. Because I can't think of the word. Censers and cauldrons, anything to that you can incorporate some fire with.
Mm-hmm. Pentacle for earth. Grapes and vines.
Mm-hmm. The oak leaf again. I mean, mm-hmm. like even the I'm starting to really fart out. The acorns.
Yeah, acorns. Acorns are a good one, too. Sometimes.
Yeah.
Whoa, Sandman.
Seriously.
Sandman. Soundman. I am sunbaked today. Lou just baked the fuck out of my brain. All right. What else you got for altar stuff? Can you think of anything, LaFay?
Well, we talked about kind of like the plants that we could use for incense. So using corn and safflower.
Mm-hmm.
Rose hips are good to use again, and roses for any of that. And frankincense and sandalwood.
Yep.
Help relate to the spirituality of things.
Yep.
If
you're a tree fan, if you find any types of branches from apple, hazel, holly, or oak. Those are really good trees for this
mm-hmm.
for this Sabbath too.
Do we want to go into some of the other deities that are associated with this before we go into your big guy?
Let me think.
Or if
how about some quick tarot, real quick before
sure.
tarot keys for Lunasa? Do you have any at all?
You know what? I didn't grab those.
Okay. I'll tell you what I've got. For the sun, we've got the strength.
Right.
The strength card. We have the sun. In the suit of pentacles, I have the 7 and 10 of pentacles.
Very nice. I love the 10 of pentacles.
Yep. In wands, I have the 4 of wands. I have the justice card and the wheel of fortune. Just like you were talking about, the wheel goes round and round.
There we go.
All right. Now, you wanted to get into some deities?
Yeah, I have a lot of those, of course.
Okay.
So we've got Adonis, who was a big one, and he was pretty much split. In one of the stories, he basically is tied between Persephone and Aphrodite, And he ends up having to spend 6 months with Persephone and 6 months with Aphrodite. And so that's where we get the seasons again and the fruitfulness and having to be, there's a lot of Greek seasonal changes on why, you know, half the year sucks.
Okay.
And then we've got Ceres. Yeah, Thor is a big one.
Okay.
Ceres. So cereal, if you ever think about that. So that she was named after the Roman goddess of grain and the harvest of grain and everything. So that's literally where we get cereal.
Nice.
So
Hecate.
Yes.
Hecate.
Very.
Because we were talking about from life to death and you know, we're slowly going into
resurgence.
The underworld now. Artemis.
Mm-hmm. Well, so. I would see Apollo.
Yep. I've got Apollo.
And then Demeter, who is kind of like the Greek equivalent of Ceres.
I got Loki.
Really?
Yeah.
I could see that.
Loki.
Nepher. So is the Egyptian androgynous grain deity.
Oh, androgynous.
Yep.
How about Thoth?
Toth. Yeah.
Toth.
He's the grain. God. I think he's involved with harvest and grain again. I'm terrible.
All of these gods and goddesses and these heroes and such, they all revolve around the same concept.
Mm-hmm.
The first harvest of wherever you're from.
Right. Pavarti. So that's the Hindu. And she is very focused on the celebrated goddess of harvest as well.
Isis. Did you already talk about Isis?
I didn't. There's a lot of Egyptian harvest deities. Tammuz, so that's the Sumerian god of vegetation and crops.
Okay.
And then he's also focused with the cycle of death and rebirth. I actually talked about it on last time, like the Zeitgeist episode.
Zeitgeist. Okay. I will not stray.
And then Pomona, so that's the apple goddess. So she was the one that held all of the special apples that the gods could eat for eternity.
Okay.
And Dagon or Dagon. So that's the Semitic. Jeez, yeah, I got some really old ones. So yeah, like even just it goes way back. There's always been a harvest holiday
they're
somewhere.
Harvested gods and goddesses. Yeah, they're
good for you.
What about animals? You got any animals for this particular?
I do. The two real animals that I could find were roosters and calves.
Okay, I got lion.
Okay,
for the strength card again,
and it also fits with August.
Stag.
Okay,
eagle, which is actually part of one of the tales of Lu. Dog.
Eagle. Okay,
and squirrel.
Dog days of summer. That actually is funny because that's when the dog. There's a dog constellation that comes out of the sky during this time, and so that's where, like, the idea of dog days of summer comes from.
Okay.
Sirius,
I think. All right.
Sorry.
That's okay.
It makes sense.
I really, really like squirrel for this time of year, too, because the squirrel is the gatherer, so
it's
we
the
are preparing.
Preparatory animal.
Exactly. We really need to... Yeah, pay a little bit more attention and maybe take some notes from a squirrel this time of year, because if not, you're going to be really hungry come winter.
Because I've back-traced it!
What's funny is the real animals that you mentioned that I didn't have are components of the mythological animals that I was able to find in multiple sources.
Okay.
So you've got griffin.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got the eagle and the lion.
Yeah.
Centaur. Which, stag, horse, close, similar enough. And Phoenix.
Of course.
So those just are repeating mythological themes that fit into the reoccurring themes here.
Right. All right. Can I talk about Lu now?
Yes.
I want to talk about Lu. All right. Before I get into my number one, like, he is my favorite, considering that I don't really do, again, I don't do these types of deities. Lu is my Celtic deity. How about you fuck off? Because he is, and he is awesome, and I really don't care what you think. But before I talk about Lu, I really want to pay tribute to the story of Lu. He has a foster mother, Talchia, and foster mothers, okay? I have to give a big shout out to foster mothers right now. We don't really have holidays for foster mothers, not that I'm aware of. We got Mother's Day and we've got Father's Day. And before we get into the story of Talchia and Lu, understanding that foster mothers and foster fathers, okay, but we're talking about mothers for a minute, are some of the most amazing fucking people on the planet.
Seriously.
You know, for everything that they do, you know, the sacrifice that they make for something that doesn't even belong to them. not that they don't belong to them. You know what I mean.
It's a different story.
Right. But back to Talchia, she was considered the great mother of Ireland. Okay?
And she made a huge sacrifice.
She did. She actually taught the people, taught her people how to clear the fields and how to plant the seed and how to cultivate everything. And through all of this, her extreme efforts to help and better her people, she actually died of exhaustion. But before she died, she told the people that her foster son, Lu, who is considered the sun god, mm-hmm. What Lu was going to do was he was going to fertilize and kind of get all of these seeds growing, okay? And that we should pay him tribute, you know? And then she drops dead.
Okay.
So it's really sad, you know? It's really easy when you think of Lunasa just to go straight to Lu.
Lu.
But in all reality, Lu, if you take a back step to his foster mother, Lu couldn't have really done that part without her. You know, that's one of the reasons why we praise him so highly as being the sun god and the harvest. You know, he is like the king of the harvest. So even when I do...
Winter is coming.
When I do... shrines or deities or altars to deities for this particular Sabbat, I pay tribute to the foster mother, Talchia, as well.
I think historically, I mean, like, that's where it technically came from. I mean, like, looking at it from the research I was able to find, there actually was technically a legendary king named Lu Lamfada.
Something like that.
And he was supposed to have reigned from 1849 to 1809 BC. And there was an actual foster mother. And so, like, that was supposedly a real story. And even though it may have been myth, like, turned into a myth,
right,
there is some actual historical fact between this foster mother and the son relationship.
And even with the festivities of Lunasad around Lu,
right,
the big festivals that, you know, different cultures or whatever, when they celebrate, they actually have the festivals very close to the burial sites of these particular deities, whether, you know, they were real or not. Who are they? Were they really real? I don't know. Maybe they were. I don't care. I'm infatuated with the story behind this particular Sabbat. But it was an interesting little thing, you know, that the festivities were like, poop, burial site. Okay, we're going to have our games right here.
Right. And then there was, I think there was the idea that she had cleared the site and said that there was going to be the funeral games, or there was going to be a celebration of the success that had happened. Or I read that story.
It was more of the celebration of the harvest, not necessarily, let's celebrate that I died.
What had happened and the success of the activities that were going on.
Yeah, but see, that was part of her giving nature, was that she did not think of herself at all. In fact, before she died, she gave Lu, she told the people to, you know, give the credit to Lu for fertilizing, if you will, you know, the land. Nothing to do with her. And he grieved her so badly that that's one of the reasons why he came up with the funeral games.
Right.
And the funeral games are actually, it's kind of neat, you know, how the old folk used to come to these festivals and stuff and the things that they would do. I mean, not only would they bring food and drink, you know, celebrating the first harvest and that kind of thing, But the games that they would play were actually very serious and competitive.
Oh, yeah. This was, like, a big deal to them. And, I mean, they pretty much, a lot of historians say that this predates and started the Olympics.
The Olympics, exactly.
So I would totally believe that.
You know, and it was such a serious thing. And that, I thought it was kind of cute that a lot, well, yeah, they would separate the men from the women. You know, to keep it somewhat formal.
Right.
You know, so the big orgies wouldn't break out. You know, because
everyone's drinking, everyone's...
Yeah, you know what? You already had your festivals of fucking and impregnating everybody. No, let's, you know, this one's actually serious.
Right.
We've had our fun. We've been working our ass off. Now let's sit down for a moment and really honestly give some thanks, you know, and an appreciation for Lou, you know, and his foster mama. We're going to have some friendly games of sport. You know?
I think, I mean, and then just that idea of Lou and his ability, all of his craftiness and everything. I mean, like, this was, we do this naturally even now without realizing it, because this is when we have all of our art fairs. This is when we have all the craft fairs. This right. is when we have, you know, the state fairs.
But that's, that all revolves around Lou. I mean, who was Lou? Lou was... He was kind of like the jack of all trades and master of everything. You know how we say jack of all trades, master of none?
Mm-hmm.
No, he's the exact opposite. He is like the deity of craftsmanship. Okay? You have a skill and a talent. You thank Lou for that.
Right.
You know, he was considered a solar deity, obviously, the sun god.
So a big deal in general. There's a lot of energy behind being a solar deity.
The Celts considered him the god of the kings. Great skill and craft in warfare, because he also was a blacksmith. He was a big one. You had mentioned it earlier, LaFay, about bringing shiny, sharp things to the altar.
Mm-hmm.
Spears. That's one of his symbols. Right. So, and your scythe, you know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, yeah, there's a lot of stories around Lou, and I'm not going to go into all of them, you know, but he was like the master of all skill. And even magicians, yes, I said that right, and musicians. I believe he played the harp. That weird-looking, harp-looking thing.
It looks like a lute.
I don't know what they called him back then. I don't know what. He was a master builder. He was a poet. You know,
I mean, like Apollo,
creative?
He really feels like the Celtic Apollo plus Zeus. Like,
right.
Kind of mix the two of them together.
He was even a physician. Jeez. You know, he literally, you think of it, anything that requires skill. That was him.
So there's a lot to thank with this
one. Yeah. And even when it comes to altars and stuff, typically I will build an altar mainly around Lou for this. And in appreciation to that deity, I will bring something to the altar that he has instilled in me. So
very
something
cool.
That I am very grateful of, a talent, you know, or if I would like to start a new craft or something like that and I need some help, then, you know, I'll do my little praying and offering for that too. So think skill and talent around this as well when it comes to Lou.
Ooh, I have Lou. A very cool idea for my little addition for this one.
Okay.
Okay. So... How about, do we want to get into activities and things to, now that we've got kind of a background on it?
Yeah, I've got some stuff, I talk about a lot about Lou and stuff. That's my deity of choice for this particular, but LaFay just rambled off a bunch of deities, you know, male and female. So whoever it is that you wish to bring to the table, do a little bit of homework on them. You know, and see what they like, you know.
I mean, really kinda, focus around the things that are going on right now.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. All right. What kind of activities you got, girlfriend? What are some fun things to do?
Outside of baking, because that's pretty self-explanatory.
And whip it out the sewing machine.
Yeah, okay. I mean, like crafting of any kind. Mm-hmm. This is a big arts and crafts thing. And so...
ain't nobody got time for that.
Letha was more about kind of like more backyard barbecue feel. This one's more, I definitely think this is more like an organized thing, like, you know.
And I'm going to keep going back to the gratitude thing, you know, because we do make offerings as to what we're thankful for when it comes to our rituals and, you know, putting things on our altar. As far as daily activities, take some time out of your busy schedule and do something for somebody who really needs the help.
Yeah.
Okay.
The sacrifice thing again.
Right. You know, it could even be, all right.
Just what I think.
So you don't want to go to a homeless shelter or anything like that. Well, what about a coworker that is up to their fucking eyeballs and they're drowning in it? You know what? And you're doing okay. Help them out for a minute. You know, loan some of your blood, sweat, and tears. You know, because obviously if you're doing better than they are, you're blessed. You share it. Share it a little bit.
Right. Or, I mean, I like animals a lot again. Mm-hmm. In the idea of animal shelters are always. If you don't want to deal with people, if you don't want to deal with some of that, okay, like, figure out something that you're comfortable with.
You,
I mean,
another fun one, too. And even though it may sound a little off, it really isn't. Typically, you'll find us witches running around the cemeteries, more around Samhain. Go to the graveyards now, though, too. You know, help clean up some of the forgotten tombstones. You know, the people that have been long forgotten.
Yeah.
Go start romping around, you know, because then that gets you all excited for romping around when it comes to Samhain anyway. But, you know, a lot of pagans will go to cemeteries as well.
Yep. I like that idea, especially when there's, I don't know, there's like an energy that you get from putting some care into the long and forgotten. I don't know. It definitely has a weird feeling to it when you do it.
And it's not only
weird, even good.
Yeah. I mean, it's for the forgotten, so it's actually for them and for the ancestors or anything like that. But at the same time, it's also really waking you up to that whole transition from life to death, like what we were talking about earlier in yourself.
That's part of it.
You know, I mean, if you think about it, we're surrounded with life right now, but soon, you know, nature, it's dying. So we have to embrace death soon, you know, with the leaves,
it's
with
a
the
very
grass,
memento
with,
mori.
With, absolutely. So really, really remember the whole transition from life to death right now. And we're going to get a lot deeper than that, you know, coming up with the next, you know, couple of months. But this is kind of like the beginning phase of that.
So things to another kind of in an activity.
Oh, shut up. I will smack you. Okay.
So going back into the sacrifice idea, you getting rid of bad habits.
Yeah.
So this is another one where you can either burn away bad habits or you can bake the negativity away.
Okay.
So that's I like this idea. It's sacrifice the negative emotions or outward habits by transferring them into a small bread person that you bake, and then you can toss that into the fire.
Oh, that's clever. That
so
would be
like
fun.
Make your little guy put. It's basically like a bread poppet, and you can put all your shit into it.
Shit, you could go to the arts and crafts store and get some modeling clay and put all kinds of, like, herbs and shit in it and roll it up and, you know, a little piece of you and, like, carve some shit that you want to get rid of bake it and then, like, toss it.
You could do
toss
the same with
the
bread, too.
Sure, why not?
Put a bunch of herbs, put a bunch of whatever that you want to put in there.
Well, yeah. For all of you cooks out there, because I know LaFay loves to cook, and I burn water if I put my mind to it. So this is, you know, all summer we're like, oh, my God, I can't fathom the thought of going into the kitchen so fucking hot. Well, seasons are starting to change, and you're going to start hopping back into that kitchen soon and making the house smell wonderful.
Definitely get out into your garden or spend as much time in nature as you can. So this is the time to start harvesting. So,
yep, all those herbs. And it's also the nice time of year, too, before all the leaves hit, that those of you who are out looking for wands, you
now's
know, go out, go find yourself a really pretty wand, but don't cut it off a tree. okay? There's plenty on the fucking ground. Take one, you know, even though it's on the ground, give the tree or nature a little thank you, a little fertilizer stick, or throw some tobacco or something, okay, in exchange for just, don't just take the wand. But it is the perfect time of year to go out and start looking for your wands, some more nature hikes and stuff before,
just, you know,
do it.
So, like you were saying, this is kind of a Thanksgiving vibe. So, something you can do is if you do consume any fruits or anything that has seeds, save those.
Yes.
Save those, and then you can bless them, and you've got the seeds ready for next year. And they're your little super starter seeds.
Right. No, that's always fun too. It's, again, all of this is kind of bittersweet. I mean, today was scorching hot. And we can't, on days like today, you can't fathom the thought of like, oh my God, I just want the sun to go away. It's so fucking hot. No, don't wish too hard because winter's right around the corner and we're on the brink of it.
Winter so, is coming.
You know, look back, you know, pay homage to everything that you've enjoyed so far this year. Big, big transitions coming up. Be thankful. You know, for all of your own hard efforts and for what the universe has blessed you with so far, because the hard months are coming.
So another one that we can do is something that you can include into your altar is any skill or any works of your trade.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that you want to bless that is involved in your trade. So say you're an author, make sure that you have your pen or your keyboard or whatever you want to include. This is the time that you can really put some nice oomph onto those things that go into your skill sets.
Right. That's, that's one of the things for falling back on Lou. Yep. He's real good at that. And, if anybody is interested in Lou, I do encourage you. And that's weird coming from me because I'm kind of anti this, but I do love that deity. And, I greatly encourage people to look a little more into Lu, the Celtic solar god deity. But anything else you want to talk about with Lunasad?
Make sure that you, like, if you have group activities, if you can get away with the group activity.
That's what she said.
That's a special
no
kind of,
orgies.
That's, well, yeah, I guess not.
No.
Not this time.
No, keep this one. I know, whatever. You can do it afterwards.
More like games. This is definitely one to make sure that you play some group games.
Yeah, and like, remember when you were little and we used to do, what is it, the
Red Rover?
Red Rover, and then you got in the potato bag and you raced down the hill. What is that? And three-legged races and that kind of shit?
Yeah, this is, I mean, like a lot of people are
sack races. Yeah, okay, old fart woman here.
Yeah, it's just there's different names for it and everything, but yeah, like any backyard games, anything
friendly competition.
That's a definite thing that you want to play around with.
Even if it's just fucking frisbee,
or watch the Olympics.
Yeah,
I hate to say it,
but it is still friendly competition. Don't hurt anybody, you know. And you could even make it fun and even make up little prizes. Make little prizes for
maybe
not for
the
winners and stuff. And
I mean, like, that's definitely jousting was a huge, like, around this time. Even if you live near like the Renaissance Fair, I hate to say it, I'm a total nerd, but go watch the jousting. That's and then you want to hear about so speaking of a fun Welsh game that started during this time. So I don't know how. Last thing, I promise. So it's called Rebo or Ribo, and basically three pairs of people would hold each other, so they would like cross arms, and then it's basically like cheerleader style throwing people up in the air. But that was like what the Welsh would do. That was like the first roller coaster, basically.
We are not doing that.
We got some big gentlemen. I mean, like, we could throw you probably like 10 feet in the air.
Probably.
We'd send
but
you
I
flying.
Don't want to. I don't want to do that.
Okay, so that's where like the rambunctious kind of high energy, lots of masculine, competitive, high energy right now, I guess, is the thing that you, and lots of fun food.
It is still a fiery, you know, it is still a fire festival. It is still a whole lot of masculinity, like you said. So, yeah. But it is. It's a lot of fun. Have a lot of fun. Eat a lot of fucking food. you know,
run around, enjoy the sun while you can.
Give a lot of thanks. Help the people when you're fortunate enough, you know, share that fortune, you know, and
remember winter is coming.
Yeah. All right. But anyway, Lunasad, it's one of my favorites. I hope you guys enjoy it. I hope you guys enjoy it. And you've got a couple days before it because it's August 1st.
Yes. Monday, but right. You have 3 days before and 3 days after, technically.
Yeah. Something
try
like
to
that.
Do the weekend if you can. I mean, like, I usually like doing, it's kind of forgiving as long as it's around the weekend.
Yeah, it never has to be on that day, just as long as you appreciate it. You know, that's recognize it. Recognize it. That's kind of important.
Enjoy that energy.
Just to recognize it. All right, baby girl, shall we say goodnight?
I guess that's it. Until next time.
This is Feather Guys.
And LaFay.
And thanks for listening to Season 8.